The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out our laborers into the harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are on the way with Jesus in this journey called discipleship, and Jesus recognizes that he can't do it all himself. Jesus will not bring about the kingdom by himself. He's going to franchise it. He's going to call a lot of other folks into this process, and today we've got the naming of the 12 disciples, that first inner circle, the ones who were at the feet of Jesus, who sat at table with him, who saw him teach and preach and heal, who saw Jesus get tired and need to go away for prayer and renewal, the ones who would know him best, if you can know Jesus best in this world, and the ones who in the darkness of his arrest would abandon him, those same ones after his resurrection whom he would call again. Jesus recognizes that this work cannot be done by one person. And he recognizes that because he feels very deeply. Call it intuition. Call it divine sight. Call it being in just a really empathetic human being as Jesus took on our nature. But he sees the crowds and has compassion for them, because as Matthew says, they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Like last week where we dug in a little bit deeper into the word mercy, it's not just an act, or it's not just an idea, but it moves us to action. Compassion has that same weight. It's a compound Greek word that has to do with what you feel. Literally, it could be translated gut-wrenching. Jesus doesn't just see these crowds, hapless, helpless, harassed. He feels for them. He recognizes the need in the world. And we could say this of any time and any place where Jesus sees those who are hapless, harassed, and helpless. He doesn't just see it, he feels it. And so he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And here Jesus does something very clever, which can teach us a little bit more about prayer, because he's addressing this to the disciples. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Jesus, having been moved by compassion, having this gut-wrenching moment, seeing the need of the people, asks his disciples to pray that God will do something about it. We see the harvest, send out laborers. And then Jesus has the audacity to answer his disciples' prayer for them. They will become the laborers to go out into the harvest. And I won't say be careful what you pray for, but I will say know that prayer shapes us deeply. When we take on the eyes and ears of God, when we learn to look at the world as Jesus did, and when we are moved by it and we pray for something, very often God will use us as instruments to that own end. We will become the people we pray for. And that's exactly what Jesus sets into motion here. He names the 12 and sends them. And in Matthew, it's a very specific mission. Not to the Gentiles or to the Samaritans, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew is deeply ingrained in Jewish tradition, history, and scripture. And in that vein, God's Messiah is for the house of Israel. We'll see at the end of the story that broadens, that Jesus will commission the disciples to go out to the entire world. But here the focus is strategic. We're going to go to our own family first. As you do this, he says, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. It's not some abstract thought. It's not some idealized situation. The presence of God's kingdom is drawing near to these places through the disciples. And I believe this is what sets Jesus apart, because he wasn't the only one speaking on behalf of God in the first century. He wasn't the only one healing. He certainly wasn't the only one doing miracles. And yet, his life, death, resurrection, ministry, and calling is the one that gathers us here this morning. So the presence of God's kingdom is a reality. And in this mission for the disciples, it draws near to those they encounter, which is to say, in our own lives. The kingdom of heaven draws near to us and to those we encounter because of Christ's presence and calling in our lives. And the job is simple, right? Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That's it. That's your job. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. There's a common denominator in each of these four groups. It's the hapless, the harassed, and the helpless. Those on the margins of society, those who struggle, who suffer for any number of reasons in this really complicated world. A world where the economy works for a small few at the expense of the greater good or the greater population, where Jesus' people, the house of Israel, are held captive by an occupying force that demands of them over and above, that gives them just enough freedom or gives their leaders just enough freedom to think that they are free, but in reality they are captive. Those who, through disease, are kept away from community, those who are held captive by what Jesus calls demons. We might wrestle with another name, but their identity has been taken. They cannot speak for themselves. One of the interesting things about possession in the New Testament is in every single story, the person cannot speak for themselves. They literally can't say their own name. And so to cast out demons is to liberate, to set free, to give somebody their agency so that they can claim who they are. Go to the sick, the dead, those on the margins, the oppressed, and be about liberation. I'm not going to pack it all into this short moment this morning, because we're going to see this unfold over and over again in Matthew's story through the remainder of our time with him this year. And so maybe stick in the back of your mind that this is a movement of liberation. This is a movement of freeing people held captive. It's a moment that sees the need in the world and feels it, and out of that empathy acts and brings about justice and healing. He's got some very specific marching orders for how his disciples are to do this, and the packing list is very slim. Basically, don't take anything with you. You are to rely on the hospitality of others, which also might offer a good lesson to us moderns. We throw the word hospitality around a lot. We are in the midst of a hospitality district here in downtown Nashville. You can't throw a rock in any direction and not hit a hotel. What does it mean to offer hospitality? Well, there's books on that, and we can see it happening. The question that Jesus is offering his disciples is, how will you receive it? How will you receive hospitality? How will you learn how to encounter the world differently? Not as someone who has something to offer, because you're already bringing the kingdom. That's enough. So don't take these extra things with you. Don't worry about where you will stay. You're bringing the presence of the kingdom. How will you receive those who receive you? Place to stay, food on the table, resources for the journey. New tunics, new sandals, economic resources. It's a different approach. It's not solely what we have to offer, because what Jesus is saying, all you're offering is the kingdom. You are here on behalf of God. And the world will react and respond to that. And the message is clear. It's not always going to be positive. You will enter a place and they will welcome you, and your peace should rest on that place. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Move on. If someone doesn't welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or town. To me, that says there's a little bit of urgency in Jesus' calling. That our work should not be exhaustive if there is no one on the receiving end. That there's got to be dialogue. There's got to be back and forth. And it's with that he answers the disciples' own prayer. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And the disciples, in their faithfulness, probably prayed earnestly on that petition. Because as they followed Jesus, they began to see the world as he saw the world. They began to develop some of that compassion. And they didn't just see the hapless, the helpless, and the harassed, but they began to feel it, because they probably had experienced it themselves. They too were at the whims of an unjust world. Maybe they prayed for someone to come to them, and in that prayer they found Jesus and their own calling. But Jesus keeps expanding. It's not just about salvation for ourselves. It's not just pulling ourselves up out of the helpless and the hapless. It's about recognizing how we help others to do the same thing. And this is not about just blanket providing resources. This is about accompaniment. It's about presence. It's about showing up. It's about recognizing what we carry with us every day of our lives, what God has blessed us with. In the waters of baptism at this table, we are reminded of God's mercy, God's compassion. We are reminded that we are the body of Christ in the world, that we carry the presence of the kingdom with us, that we become the answer to that prayer, the harvest is plentiful, and that we become the laborers. So maybe a good question today is to think about those gut-wrenching moments. And unfortunately, they are more prevalent now than they have ever been. Not because there's more suffering now than there has ever been, but because we have more access to it than at any point in the history of the world, and it can become overwhelming. TV, print media, music, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. It comes at us 24/7. And we see the call to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. We see all of those groups with our own eyes all the time, every day. It's hard to escape. And we can't be all things for all people. But I think and I believe that we can learn to tune our compassion, if you will. To learn what sets our teeth on edge in the world. To learn what brings us joy in the world. And people of great empathy will be angry and joyful at lots of things. But again, we don't have the energy to hold that. So where might God be calling you with your compassion? Where you are particularly placed in this world, where your feet touch the ground on a daily basis. Where is that compassion working? Where are you carrying the body of Christ? We've got a very interesting opportunity this summer for the first time in a couple of years because we have Serve Boldly with us. Groups coming from across the United States to spend time in our city. And it's wonderful that we have the space to house them. And it's wonderful because there's noise in the building again that doesn't have to do with tuck pointing and construction. There's life and there's laughter. And as Kristen reflected this week, the smell of something cooking, the baking of bread, there's life in our building. And these groups are going out and they're coming back with stories. They are reflecting what we've just heard in the gospel. They are answering the prayer of send out laborers. And I heard one story this week. They went down to the rescue mission early in the morning, and one of the group members is being intentional about how many people are we encountering, impacting. And in that one morning, 450 plus people. 450 plus people. One instance of the week. And it's not just the work and the accompaniment, it's celebrating life and finding things of joy. And there's a lot of fun stuff to do in Nashville as well. We as a congregation could not do that alone. But because we are gifted, we can provide space and resources to support it. In a way, we become the ones who offer the hospitality that the disciples were looking for. And I hope that the Serve Boldly groups feel that peace and that hospitality. But then we also need to know those stories, because it's part of the gospel that is being written now It's part of the gospel that's being written in our lives. And maybe in encountering those stories, it tunes our compassion a little bit, helps us to see the world a little bit differently, helps us to encounter our lives a little bit differently on a regular basis. So be compassionate. Be people of prayer, faithful prayer, knowing that we may be the very instruments that will answer the prayers that we are praying. And be faithful. God is calling us to do great and wonderful things, to encounter a broken world and to bring about healing and wholeness today and tomorrow and tomorrow. Amen.